to begin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? And thank you for tuning back in into another episode. I know by this time you're kind of tired of hearing me say thank you all the time, but I just need you guys to know how important it is for the support that you've been giving me over the last year and a half. And I'm always going to be thankful, so I don't care what you say. You're going to get thanked. Today's episode is with Nico Avina. He is an artist, poet, and owner of Espacio 1839. And just a quick disclaimer, the episode's a little shorter than normal. Usually I go for an hour. This episode is about 30 minutes. So a lot of you might find it easier to consume. A lot of you might think that we didn't go deep enough because we didn't have time. I do hope to reschedule something with him in the next couple of weeks or in a month or two. And we'll, you know, delve right in. We'll go deeper and, you know, we'll have an expanded conversation on what we touched base on today. But going back to what I mentioned earlier, Nico Avina joins me today to talk about his work, specifically a mural by the name of, I believe it's Lupita en Desalojo, which basically depicts the Virgin Mary, which for a lot of you is a cultural staple of most Hispanic beliefs. And she's holding an eviction notice. The reason for that is for the people who've lived in communities such as East LA, Boyle Heights, Highland Park, you know, so on and so forth. You know, those communities have been struggling for years, even decades, against gentrification and displacement. We also touch base about the importance of supporting local art and businesses and how educating ourselves and taking back the power will empower our communities as a whole and individually. So I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Today's music is brought to you by The Violet Minefield with their song Downtown, I Want to Roll With You. You can find their music on Bandcamp, YouTube, and Spotify. If you want to show some support, follow them, you know, give them some shares, give them some likes, buy some stuff, buy some merch, all that good stuff. I love their music, definitely really psychedelic feel to it. So check them out. Stick around at the end of the episode for the full song, and I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Enjoy. Yo, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode tonight with the, with fucking Social Primate. Sorry, dude. I have Nico Avina today. What's up, man?
What's up?
What's up? Thank you for coming out. For just people, for the record, this is going to be a shorter episode than usual, but it's still going to be a good one. So, yeah, short but sweet.
Yep.
What's up, man? Thank you for coming out. How's everything with you?
Oh, thank you for having me. I mean, it's an honor to be on the show. So
thanks, dude. You know, for people who don't know who you are, what you want to give us a little bit of background about what it is that you do.
I guess an artist, poet. My social media says artist, poet, mamón. You know, it's just You know, mil usos, a little bit of everything. You know, part owner of Espacio 1839.
Oh, nice.
So I used to be in a poet collective group called Los Poetas del Norte. So haven't done that in a bit. But I do a lot of artwork and, you know, a dad.
Yeah. So, nice. And you reside like in the Boyle Heights area, right?
I actually recited not that long ago here at, what is it, Eric's house? The garage.
Oh, Bell.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So it was maybe 3 months ago.
Oh, really? And then you moved out to the Boyle Heights?
Yeah. No, I recited there poetry. Gotcha. But I mean, I'm born and raised in Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. Been there my whole life. So.
Nice, man. Well, I mean, just to give a little better background about how I came across your work, I had seen some of the art installations, I guess you would call them, right? And that you've put together. And then that kind of got my attention. And then when I started seeing these videos that you posted a few months ago, there was a situation going on that there was these people trying to come and film in the neighborhood of Boyle Heights, and they were kind of they sent the parking enforcement or the tow trucks to start removing cars, right?
You know, the thing is that there's no problem when you come and film in a community. I believe that, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, part of the happens in the city of Los Angeles. You know, yeah. It's filming. But that weekend particular was Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. That Monday was a holiday. It's a working class neighborhood. So Labor Day, you know, a lot of people go out of town and stuff like that. And so they came in on a Monday without enough time. They put the signs in, I believe, on a Friday. But kids didn't go to school on a Friday. Mm-hmm. So some people had left town. I was actually out of town. I was actually in Vegas. Got back that Monday. I was working in my front yard and I started seeing cars getting towed left and right. Mm-hmm. So I went out there and, you know, as I was walking by, some of the members of the cast that were laughing about like how they had these cars towed.
Yeah.
And so it got me really upset and I confronted them and, you know, just pointed out the fact that it was a holiday. They could have easily knocked on the doors. You know, their guests in the community, especially on the holiday, they should have done their work of like, coming out and, you know, knocking on people's door, letting them know they were going to film. Some studios, what they'll do is they rent a parking lot to make sure that the
crew members and all that.
Yeah, right? You know, not only the crew members, but the neighborhood has somewhere to park, especially in communities that, you know, have no parking. Mm-hmm. That's the case with Boyle Heights. So that was the whole thing, was just, you know, the fact that they weren't trying to, you know, be accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they were bragging, you know, about towing people's cars. And so I was pointing out that they could have done many steps, or they could have done other things to, like, you know, make sure that they weren't towing people's cars on Labor Day, on a holiday weekend, you know. So, you know, people in our community not only have to pay a fine now, a ticket, now they also have to get their car out of the impound, you know. And so that sets people back, especially in a working class neighborhood. And those are the things that I was pointing out. And as things started unfolding, the crazy thing was that they were actually filming a movie about a homeless mother who was living in her car with her child.
Yeah.
And the things that she had to go through. And it's just, it made things a lot worse. Like, people were, you know, bashing them after that and everything. And so that was that was the whole thing with that video. Like I said, it's, you know, that I live right across the street from Hollenbeck Park. So they're always filming at least once a week. So it's not an issue with them filming. The issue was that it was a holiday.
Yeah.
And they could have done other steps, you know, right, to and ensure that the community wasn't affected as the way it was.
Now, have you always been like, in a way, like, pushed towards the idea of being more active within your community in regards to those type of like situations? I know some of your art kind of like touches base on, like, I think one of the latest things that I saw was at Guadalupe with the eviction notice. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fucking cool, dude. And I was like, I mean, it just speaks for itself. You know, it speaks volumes for what that is. You know, and obviously you can translate it in many ways.
Yeah, you can translate it in many ways. But yeah, I believe that, you know, as artists, it's you know, sort of our job as community artists is to sort of like, you know, portray the sentiments of the community, you know. And so, you know, I've been pretty vocal against the displacement, gentrification, you know. I feel that I'm, you know, I'm a product of my environment. So so I see, you know, the many layers that come into effect, you know, with gentrification, you know, the school system, the school to prison pipeline, you know, the environmental injustice, the economic disadvantages that we have. So all these things, you know, are translated in my work. And of course, you know, being highly inspired by the many murals in Boyle Heights and East LA, you know, and Chicano artists, you know, and just in general, artists overall, you know, I believe that art has been in the forefront of every struggle. Not only here in the United States, but in Mexico, Central America, and South America, and out the world, you know. And so I believe that art is a tool that can be used to voice the sentiment of the people, and that's our job as artists is to voice that, you know.
And was there a point in your life that you decided to kind of like jump on that, to try to bring messages through your art?
I think it's always been that way. Yeah. You know, I think it's part of who we are, you know what I'm saying? And it's not just about being, you know, rigid and being just like, you know, I'm going to be this. I mean, we are a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, we like to party, we like to have fun, but at the same time, we like to speak out and we like to, like, you know, voice our opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with art. You know, I mean, some of my art might be, you know, just funny, you know, sort of flipping logos and stuff like that. But at the same time, I do artwork that I feel, you know, reflects the sentiment of the community, you know, like the gente si gentrify no, or like, you know, like the Virgen being displaced, you know, what I wanted to say with that piece, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, once the demographics of a community change, so does the art. Yeah. You know, so if the people that painted these murals, the people that paid people to paint these murals get evicted, displaced, that artwork is going to get whitewashed and that's going to be displaced also. And so, so that's sort of like, you know, the idea that, you know, that mural was going, in that direction. But yeah, I mean,
I have it right here for the people who are watching, you know, it's powerful, man. I saw it and I was like, damn, like, and you have another one. Oh, let's see, where can I pull it up? I think it was on your Instagram. Is there a link here? I think I saw a link around here. But there was a link. There's one of the guys being held down.
Oh, that's the so the new one. So that was for the opening exhibit. The one that's up in the computer right now was for the opening exhibit at Espacio 1839. And there was just a new exhibit at Avenue 50 in Highland Park, which is also going through the gentrification.
Yeah.
And so what I did there is I added Juan Diego.
Juan Diego, so yes.
Juan Diego, instead of bringing flowers. So Juan Diego, instead of bringing flowers to Virgen de Guadalupe, he's actually a flower vendor who is being, you know, harassed and detained. And, you know, that brings the lady that was, you know, selling flowers outside of her son's graduation, and she got thrown down to the ground and arrested for selling flowers out in the sidewalk. And so it's using that imagery, you know, and kind of like, you know, bringing those things together. There's a lot of things. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you look at, you know, for example, the storyline behind the Virgen de Guadalupe, right? She is someone who, you know, fled the heroic killing of children, of innocent, to save her child. She fled. So she was an immigrant herself. You know, she was asking for help in different places. And so that's exactly what's happening right now with people from not only Mexico, but Central America, as they're coming north with their kids, is they're fleeing the violence that is, you know, the heroic like killing of the innocent by CIA, like, you know, operatives that happened there in the 80s and, you know, and 70s. And so these things, you know, there's a reason why these things are happening. And so that is a reflection of that. You know, she's an immigrant, she's a mother, you know, she's being displaced, you know, and so,
yeah.
So those are stories that, you know, people might attach themselves to, but then detach themselves from the reality of our humanity and how we view people even out in the street, you know? And so,
yeah, man. I mean, it's for sure powerful. It, like I said earlier, it speaks volumes. And, you know, at least, you know, I grew up in this neighborhood, Cudahy Bell. You know, I've been here for like 20 plus years. And that's, you know, this is something you see on the daily. Like, you know, you see the people near the freeway exit selling the flowers and, you know, hustling or finding different ways to kind of just make a living or a little extra of a living.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole culture is, you know, La Virgen de Guadalupe. And, you know, that is what that culture revolves around in a sense. And, you know, to see it put in that position, to me, this is my personal opinion from what I saw here. It gets you angry, you know, it makes you feel like what the fuck, like what's really going on, you know, and why isn't a lot of more people doing something about it? You know, and like you mentioned, like Boyle Heights, Highland Park, those places in the last, you know, as far as I can remember, at least my time here. You know, it's been being pushed slowly. It's been being whitewashed. If anything, people are going in there faster, trying to take everything out. And it's sad that all these people are getting displaced just to make a new space for, you know.
I mean, it's honestly, it's a economic disadvantage. And it's also a environmental injustice in terms of like the things that we've had to deal with for many years. And, you know, of course, with with new residents and mm-hmm. the demographics changing, things also change. So it's not saying that we don't want new things or we don't want good things, you know, but we want to be included in the change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's not the case here. The case is, you know, they're displacing us. They're, you know, not doing what they should have done for the community, you know, but eventually we'll do it for somebody else. And in the end, it's all about the money, you know? And so it's not really about humanity. It's not about, you know, viewing people as people, as human, you know? And so that's a lot of times is like, you know, detaching those things. And mm-hmm. that's the thing with using imagery that some people might think is like, you know, a taboo to touch mm-hmm. or to do things that, you know, but it raises these conversations, you know, it makes people view it in a different light. A lot of times is to them an image of the Virgen is sacred. Like, you don't mess with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they don't give a damn about their neighbor who is going through, like, you know, immigration issues or displacement or, you know, like all these things. Is like, to them, it's like, oh, because it's chingin, you know, it's, you know, it's not me.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, pretty much the behavior and thought process.
And so when you use an image that somebody views as sacred or somebody that somebody could relate to,
mm-hmm.
somebody that sees it differently. And then you put that into context of like, you know what, that image, she's being displaced, but she's also an immigrant and she was a mother who fled, you know, to save her child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so people view it differently. They're just like, you know, then they can't, you know, they can't come back with that, you know, with their remarks of like, it's not me, I don't care, you know, because that's usually the remarks when, you know, you talk about your neighbor, you talk about other people and they don't care.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, you de-associate yourself from it because it's not happening to you at that very second.
Yeah. And so, once again, like I said, I think, you know, as artists, we have that, you know, we have to use our tool,
mm-hmm.
you know, our gift as artists to voice, you know, the sentiment of the people. And, you know, as artists that come from working class neighborhoods, a lot of times we don't do that because we are just trying to survive, you know. And so a lot of times we look at art as a means of economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times you don't get as political or you don't say a lot of things because you really want to sell your work.
Yeah.
And so at the same time, I feel like, you know, art should be used as a tool.
Yeah.
You know, to voice that opinion.
Yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, it's like it's been used to make movements, good and bad, you know, at mm-hmm. the same time, but it's been used to help, like, unite people or bring them to a certain cause, you know.
Well, it's a tool.
Yeah,
right. And so, like any tool or like any weapon, someone could use it as a defense,
mm-hmm.
or someone will use it against its people. And so corporations and you know, governments will use artists,
mm-hmm.
you know, to sell them propaganda, you know. Or you know, corporations are coming in and using, you know, artists and using them to sell their product to the masses, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, artists, it's not that they're bad artists or mm-hmm. that they're bad people, but because we come from working class communities, a lot of times we can't, you know, some artists won't say no to it, you know, to a couple hundred dollars, right? And so then they use their art, you know, they use their talent
mm-hmm.
for corporations to sell poison back to our people. And so a lot of times is, you know, you can't really, like, you know, sort of come at the artist
mm-hmm.
because we actually as a community, we're not offering them that alternative, right? Like if we were a community that supports our artist, right, then we would be able to, like, you know, create self-sustainability for these artists, so they wouldn't have to seek out these corporations, you know what I'm saying, or they could easily turn down a corporation mm-hmm. coming in because they have enough, you know, financial support from the community.
Yeah. I mean, is that what, at least from what I've seen, is that's like the culture that's been kind of building over the last couple of years, that there's more, it seems like there's a little bit more community going on, like there's more, I would say, people talk more about supporting, you know, in local artists, you know, local things in regards to where their communities are going. Have you, like,
I think that has a lot to do with us educating ourselves too, you know, with us getting that information out there, right? If you support a local artist, you know, that lives in your community, your dollar is going to, you know, sort of like be reinvested back into your community, you know, over and over. So for example, if you support like a local coffee shop where the owner lives in the community, right? Well, that owner of that community is going to reinvest his dollars back into the community because he lives there, right? So he might buy something from another, like, you know, a local baker, or he's going to show the, or he's going to show art, or he or she is going to show art of local artists.
Yeah.
Where you have a corporation that at the end of the night, you know, they close the registers and that money's funneled out of your community. So you're spending your money in corporations that at the end of the night funnel that money out of your community.
Yeah.
So you work to bring that money into your community, but it's never reinvested back again into your community because these corporations, you know, are just closing it at the end of the night and that money gets funneled out, you know, into their corporate banks outside of your community. So it's always good to invest, but that comes with teaching one another that, you know, why we should support each other. So I think that has a lot to do with, you know, with educating ourselves and being involved and like trying to get the word out there. Once again, it's not about shaming people,
right?
You know, it's about educating one another and you know, being conscious of how we spend our dollars, you know,
and from your experience, like showing that support within that community, what does that mean to you? Like going to like the events, just, you know, reaching out to those people who you know or that have these crafts going on and just, you know, purchasing from them, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, try to support as much as you possibly can. I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, it's not even financially. A lot of times we're going through so much shit that even showing up for somebody or even asking them like, yo, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? You know, letting them know that you're there, you know, that also,
That's very true. That even crossed my mind. Yeah.
So a lot of times it's not necessarily financial. A lot of times it's moral, you know, it's, giving someone a like, or, you know what I'm saying? Like giving someone a follow. And so, because for example, there's certain artists that can capitalize, like for example, if there's an artist in your community, right? And you tell your friends to follow him, he or she, right? To follow them, then they could turn around or they could turn those followers into a like income for them.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have to give each other that power, right? So we have to support one another. We have to support each other in order for us to, like, you know, give each other that opportunity to do whatever we choose to do. Right. Yeah. Some of us might not want to go that route. Some of us might just be like, you know what? I mean, I have that many followers, but I don't want to monetize it. There's other people that might need to monetize it or want to monetize it. And that's good for, you know, go for it if that's what they want.
Yeah.
You know, but that comes from also from support, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, that's something that's grown on to me as time has come, you know, just being more supportive of the local. Because before I was the first guy to say, like, I don't want to go to that coffee shop. Let's go to Starbucks. You know, and that was me, man. But, you know, as like you mentioned, you know, I became more educated, started seeing like the realities of how, you know, financial things work in that sense. And I'm like, okay, you know, I get to choose where I want my dollar to go, you know? And then at the end of the day, that's, if it's helping somebody, especially around us, that's building my community, you know? And that's a big proponent that I've been kind of pushing myself towards and still learning, you know, because I'm still trying to become more involved in the things that I do, at least in my area. Like, a week, 2 weeks ago, that Delta airplane just, you know, threw jet fuel on the school, and that school is like down the block from my house. So I was in the trajectory where it was going, you know, and I went to the town meeting, and people were, dude, it was like the first time in my life in Cudahy that I had seen so many people come up and like just get together for one thing. I mean, you know, maybe they all want to sue Delta, but the whole thing was just that everybody was united and everybody was done with all the environmental stuff that's just been going on, you know, for decades. And, you know, it's something that I've, you know, I've just started kind of building on and, you know, becoming more focused on in a sense.
It's the environmental injustices that we go through. I mean, you know, the Southeast LA, the East LA, the, you know, the fact that we, you know, we're so close to the train tracks, Union Pacific, all these things, you know, the amount of pollution that we're breathing, you know, Exide, the amount of pollution that Exide, you know, and how much they contaminate and how they got away with it. You know, and the ground hasn't been, you know, cleaned or anything. Right. So, I mean, it's how do we take that power back? But how does that look? But so we have to educate ourselves. I mean, this is a perfect example, right? You having a podcast, you know, having this studio here, creating a platform that's taking the power back, you know, and so, you know, using this as a tool to educate. But then also, like, you know, you're opening up the space to give voice to the voiceless, to the people that wouldn't otherwise wouldn't be interviewed, you know. And so this is also a very powerful tool that, you know, one, you could use it as a tool just to get the word out, or two, you could monetize it. And if you do monetize it, if you do become, you know, sort of like self-employed by your work of creating a podcast or creating a platform, more power to you. We should be supporting that, you know, we should be cheering that on. And so it's about that, you know.
For sure, man. It's about, like you said, it's just about building that community and just fucking supporting it. You know, I wish we had more time, man. We're about that time. We have 7 minutes. We have 7 minutes, man. All right, cool. So with that being said, you know, it's about that community. And like, I still have a lot of people who just tell me, like, dude, like, don't you want to get the fuck out of there? And it's like, you know, you do always strive to trying to get to a better place, you know, and to live in a more comfortable situation. But like, you know, I've been out of here and I came back, and then I realized that, you know, you want to build within your community, you know, and that's what you got to start changing things, because otherwise it's always going to be a piece of crap wherever you're going. And, you know, it's, I don't know. That's why it's becoming really important to me, like, to really try to push myself and get more involved, because I've neglected that part of myself for years. And, you know, now getting a little bit more involved, like you said, opening up the platform to provide the voice for those people who can't, has given me the time to shift my perspectives and learn about my biases. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm growing, you know, each and every time I have a conversation like this. You know, and again, you know, showing the support to those places that I always drive past by, and I never get, you know, no les pongo atención. And the next thing you know, like, I'm walking in there and I'm seeing that they're offering a product or, you know, customer service or something that surpasses whatever I'm getting somewhere else. You know, some generic place that's supposed to serve you a certain way. And I don't know, man, it's more human, you know? So.
Yeah, it's more human. And then also valuing our places and our spaces. A lot of times it's you know, our communities are devalued. Our communities are, you know, called negative things, right? It's one of these things where we have to view that perspective, right? A lot of times, moving out of your community, you know, and moving a little further east. Like, for example, I grew up in Boyle Heights. You know, if somebody from Boyle Heights moved to East LA, you're like, oh man, you're moving on up. If they move to Montebello, they're like, oh shit, you made it, you know. If they move to, you know, like Chino or Downey, it was like, that should, you know, it's like they hit Beverly Hills. Right? There was also there was always that, like, you know, you have to move out to make it. And we have to get rid of that stigma. It's like, you know what, there's nothing wrong with reinvesting in your community. You know, being the change that you want to see in your community. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of issues that are going on within our community are systemic. You know, there's things that are going on in our community that are much bigger. So a lot of times we have that internal hatred where we're blaming one another, right? We're quick to blame each other. We're quick to blame the neighbors, you know, every aspect of our community, without realizing that there's this whole system, this whole oppressive system that has been built for a couple hundred years, you know, that has us living the way we're living, right? So for I'll give you an example. I just touched on Exide battery recycling plant that contaminated the east side for over 50 years, right? Well, it's a known fact that lead poisoning in children leads to violent behaviors in teenagers. And so if a community has been contaminated for more than 50 years with lead poison and levels that are ridiculous. This is not like, you know, not eating a piece of paint lead. No, this is an insane amount of lead, right? So if children that are exposed to lead have a violent behavior as teenagers, that could be the reason why our community was going through what it was going through. Not only that, the educational system that we have in the United States, you know, Roosevelt, at one point when the students walked out, when the East LA blowouts happened, Roosevelt was one of the high schools that walked out. Roosevelt was was the biggest high school west of the Mississippi. It had a 50+ it had a 50+ dropout rate. At that time, right? And most of the kids that were graduating were going straight to the army or straight into, like, you know, service jobs. So, you know, you have a community that is not being served.
Yeah.
Right? Educationally, you know, and environmentally, it's being poisoned, right? Then, for example, the Hollenbeck Police Station, right, is one of the biggest substations, you know, in California. Well, the Hollenbeck Police Station is about a mile away from the actual Los Angeles Police Station in downtown Los Angeles, but it's one of the biggest substations. And in 2015 and 2016, they led the country in killings of community members, right? And so 2 years ago, they killed Jesse Romero, a 14-year-old kid, right? And so if you put all those things together, like the amount of lead poisoning that's been in the community, the fact that the educational system is failing us, the fact that, you know, we have a hyper, you know, police presence in our community that views us as an enemy, you know, there's all these things that come into play. So it's easy to blame ourselves.
Yeah.
But we don't step back sometimes and see that there's a bigger picture here, right? That there's a bigger picture. And as a community, we have to come together. And how can we do this together?
Yeah.
Right. And so the only thing we could do is hold ourselves accountable and be responsible with what we do. It's easy for us to blame. It's easy for us to shame. It's easy for us to, like, say it's your fault. Or but it's a little bit harder when you hold yourself accountable and say, like, well, what am I doing for my community?
Yeah. You know? It's something people don't want to really ask themselves.
Don't want to ask themselves. Yeah. And so, you know, for me, it's like I ask myself those questions, you know, as an owner of a space within our community, you know, what am I doing? Okay, so I'm offering the space for artists to come and show their art.
Yeah.
I'm offering my space to poets and to writers to come and display their, you know, their books and stuff like that. We have a little, you know, podcast radio station in the corner of the shop that is free for the community to use. That's sort of our giving back to the community. You know, I'm an artist who is always willing to work with community members to, like, you know, create art that is voicing the sentiment of our community, you know, and so I try to be very involved. You know, that is something that I know that I do, you know. So when somebody says, like, wow, what do you think about so-and-so? It's like, you know what? I don't, you know, I rather focus on what I'm not doing than focus and try to shame other people for what they're doing.
Damn, dude. Again, I wish we had more time, but we're at that point. But dude, man, I'm glad that this happened. You know, 30 minutes of it, but it was, again, people, short and sweet. If people want to find you on Instagram, your best, your handle here, what is that?
It's Nico
underscore
Avina.
Okay, cool.
So Nico Avina, and
you can check out your stuff. Yeah, well, people, you go to his Instagram file. I mean, Instagram profile. There's a Linktree website there. You guys can find a bunch of stuff on Nico. Thank you again for tuning in, and we're going to have to make another one happen, man.
Yeah, we'll make another one happen, and maybe I'll throw out some spoken word.
Yeah, for sure, dude. We'll make it happen soon. Thanks, dude. Yeah, Dre, thank you again. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Peace.